NYC comes a program that trigger people who are programmed. It's to leave stocks safe, face out.
Look at my African American over here. Look at him. Are you the greatest?
John!
I can't hear you.
John!
All right, defendant, state your claim.
Will your honor, my nigga? The thing is...
All right, I heard enough. Sick of this.
White people to move to the back and make room for my black and brown brothers and sisters.
The NNFL Network, in conjunction with entitled Sociopathic Predatorial Nignogs...
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Ahoy! Oh, let's wait to the drums. Wait for the drums. My favorite instrument. All righty then. I hope that all is well. Let me turn this to the left. Right? My left. Because for some reason when I talk, and I do this a lot, and these buck teeth hit the mic, so I got to make sure the mic is on. It's slanted. But anyways, as I was saying... It's Talib Dollar Sign Starks, and I hope that all is well with you on this 11th day of October in the year of our Lord 2018. Welcome to the safe space, a safe space for commentary, not from commentary. And it's your boy, T-A-L-E-E-B, S-T-A-R-K-E, Dollar Sign, a.k.a. the Christopher Columbus on this sea of information. Yes, indeedy. And that sound means that it's time to set sail to...
Columbus had horns?
I'm the new age Christopher Columbus, man.
Oh, okay.
You got it?
I'll cut that out.
All right, yeah. Cut off your mic, too. I was saying before I was really interrupted, when you hear that sound, that means it's time to set sail to wherever the convo leads. You dig?
Well, those boats don't have sails.
Didn't I just tell this?
Hey, man, I dig it.
My man, Jay. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah. Full throttle.
I'm sure they had horns.
Yeah, I'm sure they had horns.
Would they tie a goat to the front and squeeze it or something?
I mean, if they travel from one side of the world to the other, they had to have a
horn. No, it was a really hot chick with big tits, and they just pinch her nips. That's why they call the siren of the sea, Gary.
Got it. Well, you know, guys, this is a 90-minute show, and I would love to chit-chat with the boo. But this voyage that I'm about to go on is already charted to keep us on time and on target. Dig?
Yep.
Right on.
Yep.
All right, good. Because joining us today on this fantastic voyage is an accomplished navigator in his own right. The chief practitioner of Hotepology. My man, my mellow, Hotep Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
In the building.
Oh, yeah, we here. What's up, man? Shout out to the people. We live.
Yes, indeedy. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you for having me again. I just want to say that the last time I came on the show, I said, I am the patriarchy. So we had to get those shirts printed.
Indeed.
I am the patriarchy.
Yes, indeed. He is the patriarchy.
Yes, sir.
Hotep Jesus.
MAGASuperstore.com. Right. You can go get those shirts right now. That's the Talib Sparks edition.
I am the patriarchy. Hey, and if you type in my name, you'll get a discount.
We gonna make
you
happen.
Believe it. No. But, yo, bro, I was saying, Hotep Jesus, you know, if California had its way, your name will be pronounced Hotep Jesus.
Yes, that's true.
So let's work to make
sure
that
doesn't happen. It's happened to me before on InfoWars. He said it was, I forget, one of the co-hosts, he said that it was politically incorrect to call myself Jesus or something. So
really?
He didn't want to offend people, actually.
On InfoWars?
Exactly. But InfoWars is highly Christian, so he spent the entire show calling me Hotep Jesus.
Oh, wow. Because no one would ever, no one ever pieced that together. All right. Before we proceed, Hotep Jesus, the second coming, I got to make sure that my crew is ready.
Okay.
Because a skipper is only as good as his seaman.
Gay!
S-E-A man, not semen as in sperm. You dig?
Yo, I dig that.
Yeah. And everybody knows there are no gay sailors.
Although I am kind of a giant sperm, Dolly. We all are.
Yeah.
I'm a 31-year-old sperm. Look at me drinking coffee and everything.
We're all grown up sperms.
Yeah. You ever think about that? It's true.
But since this is a 90-minute show, as I said earlier.
Yeah, I got you. Captain, my captain.
So are y'all ready to rock?
Ready to roll, baby.
Are y'all locked in?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I need y'all to be locked in like the people who are locked in on destroying President Trump.
That's going to be hard. Yeah. They're locked in.
I know. Hey, they are locked in. Yeah. They locked in on him and anything connected to him.
Big facts.
Kanye West. Now, bro, Kanye West is visiting the White House today to discuss manufacturing right now, prison reform, and urban violence. Three things that disproportionately affect the black community. And I call this meeting the Summit of Dragon Energy.
I like that.
However, Jimmy Kimmel, the Grey Poupon eating liberal, called this meeting the Devil's Triangle. Now, why don't so-called progressives want this dialogue or relationship to happen? What's your take on that?
Well, first of all, the Democrats don't like black people. They don't like black people getting free. As we can see with Kim Kardashian, she's the only person this year to free a black person who was never supposed to escape from jail. Now, Kanye brought up the 13th Amendment, which makes slavery legal as long as you are incarcerated. And she is freeing slaves. And the last thing the Democrats want are free slaves. And that's what Kanye's doing. He's freeing the slaves and he's educating black people. And the last thing Democrats want is an educated class of black people.
My man Hotep Jesus pointing out the Democrats amongst us.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Kanye West, he knows he's not an expert in those fields. But by leveraging his celebrity to lobby the president, just as his wife successfully did, as you mentioned, he can potentially help more black people than any other rapper or entertainer did under Obama.
Absolutely.
In 8 years.
Yep.
In fact, during Obama's last year, a bunch of rappers went to the White House to discuss his My Brother's Keeper initiative. But the only thing that came out of that visit was selfies.
Oh, yeah. A lot of photo ops.
Yeah.
Stunting for the gram.
Yeah, stunting for the gram. Me and the president. Me chilling at the White House. And you know what? I remember people being like, as far as Obama, he's a president that looks beyond the surface and understands hip-hop and culture. He understands the worth of it all. But now that President Trump is doing the same, he's being castigated.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. President Trump even wants to, he wants to free more prisoners. You know, remember he freed the lady you mentioned, Alice Johnson?
Alice Johnson.
Alice Johnson. Yeah, he wants to free more Alice Johnsons.
Yeah. He even said he'll oppose Jeff Sessions if Sessions has any pushback on prison reform. Trump's here working for us.
Now, bro, if you remember back in May, Jay-Z stopped Meek Mill, who was recently released from prison, from going to the White House to discuss prison reform.
Right.
He said that the meeting would be problematic for Meek's image and for the cause.
Yeah.
The cause.
I don't know about the cause, but definitely for Meek's image.
What is this cause, though? Whatever this cause is, shouldn't prison reform be a part of it?
It's cause these Negroes don't want to lose their spot.
That's the cause.
That's the cause.
The cause.
Because they don't want to lose their spot. They don't want to lose them endorsements that they're getting. Jay-Z got that Live Nation deal.
How about that?
And that Live Nation deal is worth a lot of money, and there's not a lot of Republicans involved in Live Nation. You see what I'm saying?
When you say there aren't a lot of Republicans, I would venture to say
it's probably none.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How about that?
Absolutely.
And any And then if you are Republican, you better keep it tucked to the, close to the vest.
Oh, yeah. You can't say anything. You can't come out. This morning, I hopped in the Uber and had a black driver, and I asked him how he felt about this whole Trump thing situation. When I left that Uber, his head, he was like, wow, I was just dropping gems on him. Science. You put me with any black person from the hood. I don't want the educated, you know, liberal Negro that went to university has been indoctrinated because they're not going to listen. You give me any black person from the hood, I can get them to vote for Trump. Any of them. Because they'll listen to logic because they haven't been brainwashed and indoctrinated. What we have is Jay-Z is working for a class of black people who have been indoctrinated. And they're the ones that are the gatekeepers, such as Jamila Lemieux.
Mm-hmm.
She's a gatekeeper. She can get you Ebony. She can get you Jet Magazine. She can get you the looks on TV like she did for her brother, Mark Lamont Hill. So these people are gatekeepers. And if you step outside of the group think, the gate going to close on you. And that's what he was trying to tell Meek. And if you see Meek, Meek's doing really well right now. If he would have went and sat with Trump.
How about that?
He wouldn't.
But still with Meek, I was disappointed that he listened to Jay-Z. But I understand.
He has no
choice. The way you read. But I was disappointed that he listened and didn't about face. But that is typical. What Jay-Z did is typical leftist mathematics, I call it. It's like unity by division.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but that's how they roll.
The sad part is Jay-Z's Hotep.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
He's Hotep.
You know, I remember Jay-Z, I would say once upon a time, it's in his core.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess at the end of the Jay-Z movie, he's going to go, ha!
Yes. That's exactly what's going to happen.
What I see from this man, what I remember this man, on the front lines with Jazzo, rapper, and, you know, burning incense, rapping. I remember Jay-Z said, he said something like, I really want to rhyme like common sense, right?
But I did 5 mil. I ain't been rhyming like common sense.
Right. So.
He knows.
He knew. Then I'm like, so I see what he was doing. He's like, look, the market dictates this. So I'm going with the market.
Right. That's Jay-Z. He's a businessman.
And I feel like he still is that guy.
He's still that guy. He hasn't made enough money yet to be able to pull shots, you know. But you remember him and Nas had a song called Black Republican.
Sure did. They did have a song called Black Republican. Right. Which I think I'm going to play one of these days just as a refresher.
Mm-hmm.
That beat was a banger.
It was a banger. That record used to sound off.
Yeah. Now, the thing about the prison reform is that Kanye has no lengthy prison experience. Am I right?
Correct.
Nor does his wife.
Correct.
Yet both are on the front line of for prison reform.
Right.
Now, I say they're the first couple of prison reform. That's what I call them. The first couple of prison reform.
I like to call them the royal family, but yeah, that works too.
Wow.
They are the U.S.
You just said royal family.
The royal family of America.
I centered it to one angle. You just said, fuck it. but guess what? The first couple of prison reform has issues. Their grievances filed against them by the first couple of hip-hop and R&B, Jay-Z and Beyonce. Jay and Bey severed all ties with them because of their, according to this headline, Kanye's political rants and their loyalty to President Trump. And is this a chess move by the Hotep Jay-Z?
Yeah. It's a chess move. This is all business. Behind the scenes, they're still talking.
As in Jay and Kanye.
Yeah, well, more Jay-Z and Beyonce. This is a business move. They understand that they have to distance themselves from Kanye so that, you know, the whatever's on his brand doesn't attach themselves to Jay and Beyonce.
Got it.
They got a lot of money riding. But it's definitely a business move for them. But behind the scenes, I know for a fact, I have sources. Jay-Z and Kanye still talk.
All right. Just so you're saying, so for PR purposes.
PR purposes, he probably on the phone telling Ye, like, look, man, I feel what you're saying, but, dog, you on your own on this one. I can't touch that.
All right. Well, that.
Blue needs some new shoes.
I just thought it was the Carters dictating to the West who they are and are not approved to associate with.
Yeah.
That's why, but you know.
That too.
I'm giving
that right. too.
Okay.
That's definitely an angle as well. There's multiple angles to this whole thing.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, it's only a 90-minute show, so let's proceed. With all that you said, Hotep Jesus, we can't deny that this has been a tough week for Kanye. And basically because he's not walking lockstep with the Goof Troop. Now, think about it. Jimmy Kimmel dissed him on his network show. The Carters made it known that he and Wifey are dead to them, PR-wise. And I'm assuming the Obamas feel the same way.
Absolutely.
And plus, this Saturday Night Live cast member who's on the mantle of mockery behind me said that Kanye's impromptu rant on the show was one of the worst, most awkward things he had ever seen there. Did you see that rant?
Oh, I saw the rant.
Okay, so yeah.
I saw the part of the rant they cut off too, where he said that the Democrats installed the welfare system to take the black man out of the home.
Yeah, indeed.
They include that on NBC.
It's on YouTube.
Chris Rock gave us that on the Instagrams.
Yeah, man, that was the money line right there.
That was the money line. They cut that out. Wow.
So he had Jimmy Kimmel come at him. He had the Beyonce and Jay roll out. He had this guy Saturday Night Live pretty much go at him. And then Kanye was attacked by CNN.
Oh yeah.
Well, not the fake news network itself, but it released its CNNs. It's control nignogs on Kanye. That's CNN. Is that a T-shirt?
Yes.
CNN control nignogs.
Yes, it is.
Jay, play
what
that clip.
What does them mean? And so Kanye West is what happens when Negroes don't read. And we have this now, and now Donald Trump is going to use it and pervert it, and he's going to have somebody who can stand with him and take pictures.
Just looking at Scott's. Okay, so
it's a Chris Rock reference, by the way, Scott.
It's a black thing, by the way,
go
Scott.
Go back and watch the old Chris Rock stand-ups from the 90s.
Maybe
I will look that up.
I know that. All right, listen. Maybe it'll work, Tara. Will it? I don't know.
Work for who? It's not going to work in the black community. Listen, black folks are about to trade Kanye West in the racial draft, okay? They've had it with him. He's not the same.
Whoa.
Kanye.
I do know that reference. I know that. Oh. That is an old Dave Chappelle skit. I know
there
that
you
one.
Go.
I
got...
Bro. This melanin Miss Piggy called him a token Negro. Token Negro. She needs to put some tokens into the treadmill instead of the damn vending machine at CNN Studios. Bro, come on. Token Negro.
This is one of the saddest moments we've seen. And I've been tweeting recently. I said, don't let the media turn our heroes into villains.
Amen.
Because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take somebody that is a hero, who has been very bipartisan. You know, at the same time he wore the MAGA hat, he had the Kaepernick shirt. At the same time he said he supports Trump, he said he loved Hillary. But he's been promoting this love campaign. And to see these black people get on here and talk down on him just lets you know the amount of hate, vitriol that is just oozing from their aura, from who they really are deep down inside. These are just really hateful people. And it's just sad that when you look at the agenda, he's going there for prison reform, for the fact that people are killing themselves in Chicago. He's not going up there just to be talking, you know, for screenshots for the gram. He's going up there to talk about real life things for the black community. And here they are attacking him. Why? Because CNN put that call out and they said, look, mm-hmm. we need y'all control nignogs to mm-hmm. come up here and control the situation. We got somebody getting out of line.
Absolutely.
Let's wrangle him back in.
And you know, you said CNN called. Their Rolodex, CNN's Rolodex is comprised of one sheet. They look like this. Tara and with the other guy. And it's probably Mark Lamont Hill. Like,
yeah.
Their Rolodex is comprised of one sheet.
Yeah.
And then they come, they do what they do, but she called him a token Negro, and I'm saying, you fat face heifer. Because I remember when Kanye criticized President Bush,
yeah,
he was the magical Negro.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Oh, Kanye is so brave.
Yeah.
Now he's the token Negro?
Right.
Same guy?
Same dude.
Now, but maybe Kanye said, me putting the president on blast wasn't the best thing. Maybe I'm going to be more diplomatic with the next president.
Yeah.
I mean, well, not Obama, because Obama was like, I ain't dealing with you guys till like the end of my term.
Yeah.
I'm going to pardon some people. I mean, because he had that meeting for the Brothers Keeper initiative at the end of his second term when he's about to leave office.
Yeah.
This is Trump doing this in the front. He's ahead of this.
Right.
So Kanye is like, look, I'm with this guy. I'm not going to, you know, Trump doesn't care about black people initiative. I mean, approach.
Yeah.
You go talk to the man. You know,
Kanye really appreciates who Trump is.
I agree.
What Trump stands for. But Kanye's been on this prison reform thing. If you listen to New Slaves on his Yeezus album, he says the CCA teamed up with the DEA. They try to lock niggas up. They try to make new slaves. And basically the CCA has a deal with the DEA that basically says, look, you know, we're going to make this is a for-profit prison and we'll make some concessions or deals with you as long as you keep this prison full.
Mm.
So there's a for-profit incentive to keep prisons full. And Kanye's been on this since the Yeezus album, whenever that dropped, you know. But that was before.
That was a dope line, too.
Hell yeah. This is way before Trump decides to run. So when you see him talking about prison reform, it's not something new for Kanye. Kanye appreciates Trump because Trump isn't the average politician. That's why I appreciate him. That's why America voted for him. Look at Obama. There was a landslide victory for Obama in two elections. So you can't say racism is a problem in America. And then there was almost a landslide victory for Trump. And why is that? Because people recognize real.
Real recognize real. Let Hotep Jesus have that last word, Jay. We take a sip of the good stuff. Now, earlier I spoke about this guy, Pete Davidson, from Saturday Night Live. And coincidentally, on this day in 1975, Saturday Night Live premiered on NBC. And its first host was the venerable George Carlin. Now, imagine that. Mm. George Carlin. Nowadays, George Costanza would be too edgy to host that once funny show. You know what I mean? Now, moving on. This past, but I just had to get that out.
I love
this
George
past Carlin. Weekend. Yeah, he's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
New York City Comic Con was in effect, and I predicted that it might be different in this age of Me Too and SJWs. Now, bro, are you into Comic Con, comic books, anything like that?
I got one foot in, one foot out. I try not to embellish too much. I'm more into the Japanese animation.
Japanese animation?
Yeah.
That's another. I gotta explore that. That's a huge market.
Huge market, humongous market.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now, for the last decade in America, and I'm sure Japanese, they don't have this problem.
Oh, they definitely don't.
But where I'm going with this is for the last decade, the buzzword surrounding the comic book industry has been diversity, diversified characters, which basically means less straight white lead characters. Mm-hmm. That's basically what diversity means.
Yeah.
And the industry tried to comply. In fact, check out this guy's visit to San Diego's Comic-Con.
Now, Marvel and DC are putting diverse characters in the spotlight and even tweaking old favorites. So I headed to San Diego Comic-Con to soak up the inclusive vibes. But I soon learned that for some, the good old days of comics are fading away. So, comic book guy?
I am. Used to be.
Why do you say used to be?
Oh, I stopped reading it over the diversity issue.
And overall, they've been changing comic book characters a little too much.
There's a comic book tradition, in a way, how each character should look.
I think when they start making Superman gay and, you know, Aquaman transgender, it's like, I don't go around and parade what I am, don't go around and parade what you are.
Ah, for f***'s sake.
Thanks, Jack.
Yes. There's an
actual... Is the new Superman gay?
Is he?
Aquaman a trans?
I hope not.
Am?
I hope not. That's crazy.
I don't know. But I can confirm that the new Batwoman is a lesbian.
Is she?
Yeah.
In real life or in the
I don't know. Is Ruby Rose really a lesbian?
So, like, what does that even mean? Like, what is she, like, going to rescue bitches and have sex with them?
I have no idea. You're going to have to watch and give us an update.
This is ridiculous.
Jesus. I don't know.
She has, like, a female love interest?
What, the lesbian Batwoman, I don't know. But and Captain Marvel, the most powerful Avenger of them all, is a woman who, in real life, I can confirm, is a feminist. Hardcore. So, but I don't know if Ruby Rose is a lesbian, but I know this is the magazine is called Out Magazine, where this article came from. Mm. Garrett put me onto this, but he sent this, and I guess it's a magazine.
I'm here for
your
the girl
subscription.
On girl.
Comes in here. You asked me to give it to you. That's not really fair.
I'm here for the girl on girl scene.
Well, yeah. Well, for the lesbian Batwoman. You want to do some investigative journalism?
Nah, I just wait till it come out. You just enjoy it. Bring a napkin with me.
Now, the next animated Spider-Man movie, which is slated for release in December, will not feature Peter Parker as Spider-Man, but a one Miles Morales. I said Morales. That was my cue for Jack. It's like a Kanye vibe right there.
Yeah. It looked dope so far. I like the animation.
Jordans.
You got the hoodie on.
Yeah, yes, sir.
He's going to be saving people at the border. Rugged. Oh, he's a black Hispanic.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking black Hispanic.
We claiming him.
You know?
He black.
He's black?
Black. His last name is Morales. Morales.
Morales.
No, it's Morris now.
Oh, it's Morris?
We claiming him.
Okay, Miles Morris?
See, Spanish people don't even like black people. So how you going to have a black Spanish Spider-Man?
He said that.
We're going to have to fight over that. Me and the Spanish community going to have to fight over that.
We'll see what those numbers look like when it comes out. We'll see which crowd goes.
We already know.
We'll see.
The black's going to lose that one.
But he's black Hispanic, maybe. But I do remember Spider-Man. They were talking about Spider-Man coming out as Spider-Man.
Yeah, I heard about that, too.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, bro, it's so much hearsay, and that's why I invited over an expert to help decipher it all. And stay tuned. There he is, Ethan.
How you doing? It's great to be here, gentlemen.
Welcome to the safe space, my friend.
Thank you.
Great microphone there.
What's that?
I said great microphone.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the Blue Yeti. Invaluable. Yeah.
All right, now let me get this straight. This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ethan Van Sciver. Did I say
Sciver?
Sciver, correct.
Sciver. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you're an illustrator with more than two decades of published work, a former illustrator for DC Comics, and current illustrator for the controversial speaker Jordan Peterson, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And here's the caveat. Everyone buckle up. You're a Republican.
Proud of you. Yes, I am. Yeah.
So that means to us that you're highly qualified to explain the SJW effect on the comic book industry and on you personally.
Well, yeah, it's not just comics. It's everything. It's everything in culture right now. Pop culture is being invaded by social justice warriors, the far left wingers, who are basically trying to infiltrate men's hobbies. You know, these are things that men like more than women. I mean, comic books are mostly male power fantasies. They've always been. They come in and they want to make changes. They immediately start hiring more of their friends. And before you know it, they are making, I think they just want control. They want to use these things as a megaphone, as a way to get out their ideas to people. Yeah. And make them deal with it and make them pay to deal with it. You know, we don't have to normally, you know, SJWs, we hear their messages all day long and we hear them for free. They're coming out both of our ear holes. About comics that's so insulting is they're actually putting it in comics and charging you $5 to get suckered with these messages.
Whoa. I wanted to ask you, what is Comic Gate?
Comic Gate is a consumer and professional uprising. Okay, it's a reaction to this far left wing infiltration of the comic book industry. It's consumers, customers saying, look, we don't like what you're doing to our comic book characters. We don't like what you're doing to our hobby. We don't like what you're doing to this industry. And we don't like the way that you're treating us on social media, because a big component of this is if you are to reject any of the things that you guys pointed out, the professionals who you look up to, who you admire, call you bigot. They call you racist. Yeah. They call you Nazi.
Right.
They call you names and then they block you. It's incredibly insulting. It's not only the fans. It's also the retailers. These people are depending on good Spider-Man books, good Avengers books, good Incredible Hulk books in order to keep their doors open. And people come in and they just go, where's Bruce Banner? Who's this little Asian kid who's pretending to be the Hulk? And he's having a good time being the Hulk. The whole thing about the Hulk is that it kind of sucks to be the Hulk. You know, it's like you lose your temper, you Hulk out, you find yourself naked in some desert in Nevada, you know, the next morning. It's like it's a curse to be the Hulk. This kid can become the Hulk whenever he wants to. He's like totally radical. Awesome. This is not a comic book anybody wants to read. There's no drama in it. These are SJW replacement characters. That are there just for the sake of diversity. We need more Asians in comics. We need more black people in comics. We need more women in comics. We need more gays in comics. So instead of creating new ones, we'll take the ones that you love, we'll either kill them or we'll change them. They made Bobby Drake, who was Iceman, gay. Bobby Drake used to love the ladies. You know, I mean, Iceman loved the ladies. He's been around for 50 years.
Yeah, I remember the Iceman. I wanted to... I told this story before. I used to watch the Saturday morning cartoons, and I used to eat ice, thinking that would help me become the Iceman. You know,
didn't work.
I'm still working on it. I mean, who knows? I don't want to give up hope just yet. But we just watched the Spider-Man trailer with Miles Morales. Now, it's an animated movie, and the question I want to ask you, Ethan, is, by making it an animated movie, is this basically a test to see the money-making potential of a black Hispanic Spider-Man, or are they like, we don't care how much money we make, we just want to virtue signal that we are on board with this diversity initiative?
Well, I think it's both of them. I think in the case of the MCU and Sony and all of the movie versions of these characters. I think they're trying to make money. There's a deliberate effort to make money. But at the same time, the comic book fans have rejected most of these characters. Miles Morales, not really. I mean, they kind of like Miles. He works in tandem with Peter Parker. I mean, the both characters still exist. So you have a choice when you buy a Spider-Man comic. That's a good thing. You don't have a choice when you're buying Thor. Thor is gone. Thor is now a woman. You don't have a choice when you're buying Wolverine. Wolverine is now a woman.
Wow.
Captain America... Captain America is now a Nazi. Iron Man is dead and he's been replaced. Iron Man is now a black teenage girl.
Sassy Man? Riri
Where? Boy. In the comic books, like being printed now?
Yeah.
In the new comic books, this is what's happening right now.
Yeah.
What?
That's what this is all about. That's what Comicsgate is all about.
Now, okay. So DC and Marvel, first and foremost, are profit-driven businesses, correct? Now, how is it that – now, this is the comic books. If they were to make a movie, there's no way they could have a female Thor in the Avengers movie. So is there what's the difference between the comics versus the movies? And I don't see them going that far with diversity in the film version of Thor.
Yeah, they will. Get ready. Did you see Avengers, the last Avengers movie?
Yes.
Where did all those guys go? What happened to them at the end? Don't spoil it for anyone. But I think when you see the next film, which is Captain Marvel, which you pointed out, Captain Marvel is the leader of the social justice warrior diversity characters that Marvel has been trying to push on fans now for 5 years. And fans have rejected them in the comics. They've rejected them. They don't want this stuff. Retailers have actually stood up and said, stop, give us our old, give us Thor again. Give us the Avengers. Give us Tony Stark. Give us Captain America, not a Nazi. And the fans have rejected all of this. So if the fans in comics have rejected it, maybe they could try putting them in the movies and try to sell them that way.
Okay.
Maybe that would make them familiar. Okay. So you're going to see a big push for diversity in the MCU. These Marvel characters, they've just wiped the slate clean, as you know, if you saw that movie. Get ready to see women save the day.
So they're basically saying, shut up and eat this.
Like, yeah.
The vegetables when you were a kid, your mother. And you're like, no. And they're like, yes, it's good for you. Now, this blows my mind.
But they're not good for you because it's not like these characters are well written. They're not well thought out. Stan Lee was a genius. When Stan Lee created those characters, and Stan Lee was a liberal. I mean, you know, he created Black Panther.
Yeah.
He, you know, in the 1960s, he was fully aware that all of these characters that he was creating were kind of reflections of himself. They were all white. And he decided to go in there and actually try to create, a black character that is very popular. Obviously, the movie was a big hit. A very well thought out, grounded, meaningful, realistic character that everyone can relate to. But I don't think SJWs are capable of creating real characters like that. They're not capable of creating characters that we can believe in, relate to, on any level other than just surface level. This character's black. This character's gay. This character's transgendered. That's what you are, then you're going to like this character. But once you pick up the books and read them, there's nothing there. These characters are not relatable. They're flat. They're two-dimensional. There's no conflict.
And you on your YouTube channel, which is Comic Artist Pro Secrets, you talked about the upcoming Charlie's Angels reboot.
Yeah.
Now, is this reboot another example of the SJW effect, for lack of a better term?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, over and over again, I don't know. I think, you know, when it comes to, introducing new female characters, they strip them of their sexuality. They strip them of the things that are attractive to men. They're concerned about just like, halting the male gaze whenever they can. So this version of Charlie's Angels is actually going to be not sexy at all. They're going to be very hard to look at, but they're going to be tough girls. It looks already, I mean, we've seen the pictures of what Kristen Stewart looks like.
Yeah.
She looks like a heroin addict.
Absolutely.
She looks like a meth addict.
So it's going to be Kristen Stewart. I'm just looking at the script. I'm looking at the overview now. Kristen Stewart, Caitlyn Jenner, RuPaul, and Shaq.
I don't know about the other two, but yeah. Kristen Stewart has gotten a haircut just like Milo Yiannopoulos, and she is ready to rock as one of the Charlie's Angels. These have traditionally been three extraordinarily beautiful women who are tough.
Yeah.
But they're pretty.
Yeah.
They've taken out the pretty part. They're not going to be pretty anymore. They're just going to be tough, and they're going to look like, they are meth addicts. So get ready for that. It'll be fun.
Wow. Oh, my God, man. Ethan, one more thing before I let you go. How come there were no black people in Lord of the Rings?
Good question.
I've heard someone actually complain about that. So
I have no idea. We're going to have to ask J.R.R. Tolkien, but I think he died sometime in the 1970s.
Well, so what country was that movie based in? Wasn't it like in the Germanic area? Or?
Well, it's Middle Earth. It's fake Middle Earth. Version of Earth.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's that's the problem, and I'm just speaking for myself, is that a lot of times black people, we feel like we have to be everywhere white people are.
Yeah.
You know, Lord of the Rings, if that's Middle Earth with a bunch of white people doing white people stuff, have at it.
Yeah.
You don't have to sprinkle in a few black people to, you know, for diversity's sake. I mean, I just don't see white people going, hey, how come no white people were in
Boys in the Hood?
Boys in the Hood. You know, what's up with that?
There's representation.
There's diversity. Yeah. And so,
I encourage everyone to just get together and create great stuff.
Thank you.
You know,
there
do
you
it
go.
Without thought to skin color or trying to assert any identity politics whatsoever.
I agree.
Create a character that's meaningful, that means something to you, for reasons that other people will pick up on and relate to as well. And that's the great thing about the comic book industry. That's what we're doing at Comicsgate. You know, I've got a whole lot of great creators who are getting together, making their dreams come true, creating their own characters, their own comic books, crowdfunding them. We've raised $2 million in the past 4 months just doing our own comics for ourselves now, independent of Marvel and DC. And I think that's the future. I think that's the future. There's no politics. There's no guidelines. All these books are apolitical. They're just meant to offer people escapism. And I wish Hollywood, I wish video games, and I wish the mainstream comic book industry would follow our lead. Entertain people again. We have enough problems that we have to worry about every day.
The thing is with the Democrats is this. They don't want black people to do anything that can actually help themselves, like being involved in law, finance, banking, none of that stuff. So what they do is they say, oh, look, things are getting better. There's a black Spider-Man or there's a black Superman.
Right.
So you can be anything. You can be Superman. But they don't want you to be the practical attorney or banker. And that's the trick here.
Hey, you know, Ethan, you're doing your work independently, correct?
Right. Yeah.
But you still have these wolves, SJW wolves at your neck because of the work you've done with DC, or is it because of the work that you're doing with for yourself? Why are they still nagging at you? And you're off the radar, so to speak.
Because he got that juice.
I voted for Donald Trump, and I wore a MAGA hat on November 9th, and they chased me out of the comic book industry.
Oh,
they harassed me. They showed up at my personal appearances, threatened my family, did all kinds of crazy things until I left. I told DC Comics, look, I got to go. I wasn't allowed to answer for myself. When I work for DC Comics, you can't tell these people where to go because you represent Warner Brothers in DC. So independence has given me the freedom to be myself, stick up for myself, stand up for myself, and do things for myself. They thought they destroyed my career as the biggest, most open Republican in mainstream comics. But I went and did it myself, and Cyberfrog Blood Honey, my comic book, my first comic book by myself, raised $628,000 in pre-orders.
Yes.
They are furious about this. They need to silence me. They need to destroy me. They need to continue to try to make an example out of me. But what I'm doing is I'm being an example to others. You can do what I do. You can do what I did. You don't need to kowtow to the left. You don't need to answer for them. You don't need to put your own talent in service of their politics. Mm-hmm. Put your talent in service of yourself. Create your own comic book. Come along with me. Come along with Comicsgate. And let's create good comics that entertain people again and make a lot of money doing it.
Sounds good to me, my friend. Ethan, thanks for hanging out and providing some much-needed clarity. Now, tell us where we can keep up with you. And
hey, go to Comic Artist Pro Secrets on YouTube and subscribe to my channel, please. I do daily live streams and videos about exactly the kind of stuff that you guys talk about. So please do that. And then follow me on Twitter at Ethan Van Sciver.
Well, thank you, sir. And you keep fighting the good fight. You have allies more than you know.
That's great to know. Thanks, guys.
Take care. We'll be right back.
And now, the NNFL Network, in conjunction with Entitled Sociopathic Predatorial Nicknogs, also known as ESPNN, presents the news, highlights, and storylines in the 2017 Nicknog Feral League season. Brought to you by the Party of Dependency, the Democratic Party. A reminder, the NNFL is not a fantasy league. It's an actual league based on bloody reality, where the three M's, murder, mayhem, and misery, are the primary statistical categories. The official snacks of the NNFL are none other than M&M's and Aunt Jemima's Didn't Do Nothing Muffins, which are both distributed to training camps across America. All incurred NNFL injuries are covered under Obamacare, except fatal injuries. Fatal injuries are covered under GoFundMe, y'all. Much appreciation to our other corporate partners, Capital Murder One, which always asks, what's in the other guy's wallet? Our Asian sponsor, You Best Buy or Go, which bravely operates in hoods across America. And Go Baby Daddy. Now back to the booth with Talib Starks on play-by-play and Pat Dixon on colorless commentary.
All righty, get your popcorn ready, because it's time to review week 42 of Nicknog Frill Ball League action here at the NNFL Network. I'm Talib Starks, and of course, I'm joined by the czar of colorless commentary, Pat Dixon.
That popcorn in your motherfucking mouth.
E.D., it's good to have you back in one piece this week.
Oh, nice to be here. Yeah, complete.
Even though you were quite heady last week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a, I hope it didn't get, having my whole body doesn't go to my head.
Yeah, got you. I figured you would make something out of that.
Yeah.
And two PDs left is our returning champion, the Hotep one, Hotep Jesus, who somehow manages to get the applause every time.
Yeah.
Now, fellas, he's Hotep Jesus. Fellas, this past Sunday, my beloved Philadelphia Eagles were beaten by the Minnesota Vikings, and I am still pissed. However, had that been an NFL game, PD, you know this.
Oh, yes.
Minnesota would have gotten cremated by the Philadelphians.
They got nothing on them.
Nothing. But you know what? Let's start the show in Minnesota. Home of the Minnesota Vikings and Shia. Kangs, as they like to be called.
Yeah.
Now, critics often laugh at Minnesota's three-word slogan, "We Was Kings," because let's face it, this league is all about what you've done lately. And so that whole "We Was Kings" mantra is dead ear to the rest of the league.
You can't be living in the past.
You can't live in the past. It's about what you're doing today. Still, last month, the Vikings and Shit, they did show some signs of life by scoring four TDs on 10 completions over a weekend, over a single weekend. And on the St. Paul section of the field, black season ticket holders protested to end the ongoing gameplay. My fellas, I have to pose this question to you. Do you believe that the Vikings and Shit are capable of going on a majestic run during these last two quarters of the season?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, I mean, we'd all love to see that. You know, we'd love to see it get interesting. But unless they get a new influx of brand new Somalis there, because, you know, they are big.
Yeah, yeah.
The center for Somali criminal activity. Then we can rule them out of the playoffs, I believe.
What do you think, Hotep Jesus? You want to take a stab at it?
Definitely going to come in second place to St. Louis. St. Louis is leading the
league. Well, with St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
Minnesota and St. Louis, do they have any kind of history, PD?
Well, wait, what going on each other? You know, who has a history in St. Louis is East St. Louis, you know? Always a bitter battle between East St. Louis, Illinois, and St. Louis, Missouri. You know, that's always a close one, you know? But look, I got to agree with Hotep here, you know what I mean? Like, Minnesota got nothing on St. Louis when it comes to NNFL action. Vikings and shit.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I say no. They're too inconsistent. Listen, like, the only consistency that has occurred on that Minnesota field, as far as performance, came from Prince.
Yeah.
He dead.
So,
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Yeah. Speaking of Prince, on this day in 1981, he was a relatively unknown musician. Yet, he managed to open for the Rolling Stones at the at the L.A. Coliseum.
Well, Mick Jagger's got an eye for talent, doesn't he? It's funny how the Vikings and Prince both wear the same color, too.
Yeah.
Playing.
Yeah, that's true.
Thought about that.
This is Minnesota. The Purple People Eaters, remember them, P.D.?
Yeah. Then there's Prince, the Purple Penis Eater.
No, he... Well, maybe, but...
Who knows?
I don't know.
Only occasionally.
Prescription drug eater.
Or that, too, right, for sure. Jay, where's the headline? Eater. Let me finish this last headline, Jay, because this is important. Because we're speaking to musicians, and according to this last headline, Aaron Hicks Lee, from the band Red Daughters, he was almost dead like Prince after catching a pass on a robbery play in Northeast Minneapolis. And fortunately, he's expected to survive. He received 3 surgeries, but the game ball remains lodged in his... in his thigh as a souvenir.
Wow. That's still something to remember a whole thing by.
Now, Petey, I'm going to...
Aaron Hicks Lee sounds like he should have been in the Civil War, though.
And I was going to ask you.
Aaron Hicks Lee still got a musket ball in his chest.
So, Petey, yeah, I'm going to ask you this question because you're white.
You've
never heard of that band, Red Daughter?
Wait, hold on. I got to speak for all white people now? Yeah,
pretty much.
Okay. No, I never heard of them.
All right, moving on.
Red Daughters.
It's time for our weekly check-in to Toy Soldier Field, home of Urban America's team. The...
What? Could it be?
Chicago
Savages. It's a windy city. Yeah. Packing a bag, taking a trip.
On this past weekend, they had a solid outing, scoring 5 TDs and 15 completions, including a TD pass to a team... during a vigil. Yes.
Yes.
Vigil.
Vigils are magnets for bullets.
Yes. Now, two other receivers caught passes on this same play, which began after an argument broke out. And, fellas, I know emotions run high during memorials, but as we see over and over in this league, memorials are no-go zones.
No, man, you got to figure, like, whoever got shot, they hate him, right? And then they hate everybody that likes him. So a bunch of people who like him going to be in a group. Stay away from that vigil.
Yeah.
Even if you're a Butler College Prep senior with a bright future.
Right, and a great smile, you know. This is a tough one here. Mm. FYI, this 2018 Savage squad has completed more than 2,400 passes thus far.
Oh, my God.
We still have a few more months to go. And some season ticket holders think that's too many. But instead of blaming the players, they're blaming the governor. Not the mayor, not the city council, but the governor.
Wow.
I guess that's better than blaming the president.
I can't believe they haven't blamed the president yet. Soon they might be able to blame the president.
Working up the chain, I guess.
Yeah, Trump sent personal help there to Chicago to work some stuff out. He said he's going to get that shit straightened out right away. He's talking about stop and frisk, bringing that back. So we'll see if...
It worked in New York City.
Maybe Donald J. Trump, the president, the leader of the free world, will take care of this problem in Chicago. Wouldn't you like to see that happen?
Sure.
I would, yeah.
Now,
that's bloodshed for the Savages.
I know.
They have their completions have gone way up.
Yeah.
TDs down.
TDs down.
Running more of a West Coast offense, yeah. I guess. You know,
more
short pass.
Yeah. They have their trouble in the red zone, but, you know, it's still a couple more quarters left.
Running it around. That's what's important. No, not really.
Now, as indicated by this bottom headline, Chicago is witnessing a solo offensive effort not seen since the likes of Jim McMahon and Walter Payton. A mass savage threw 2 random TDs to 2 strangers from point-blank range.
Sourness.
Now, the 2 receivers didn't know each other, and nothing was taken from them. But the refs are scrambling to remove this player from the field and are even offering an $18,000 payout to any season ticket holder that may help.
That's interesting. Well, they really prioritize these guys who don't want to take anything from you, just want to kill for killing's sake.
Well, we have some footage of this savage in full uniform. Here you go. Now, this is the guy that's most wanted in Chicago right now, this player. And he's just some carefree strolling here, like he's in the Garden of Eden somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to give you a close-up of his face. Oh. This is a guy.
He looks mighty fucking suspicious just right there, right? walking with, he's got a ski mask on in October.
Boy.
Usually, I mean, you can see if it's February, the wind's whipping around, but that's...
Here he is, dressed in all black like the Omen, or like a ninja. Ninja.
He's the only one out there. He looks like he's like playing a video game where he's like kind of a little bit off course, you know, and he's just running around checking out what how far it goes and everything.
Yeah, man.
How about that guy? Well, maybe he just threw those passes, you know, just to kind of stay in shape, you know, because sometimes you don't really need... It's not game day. You're not trying to make money. Yeah. You're just out there warming up, you know, staying in...
But did you notice... Did you notice that even after the play, he didn't dart off the field? It was just more of a
jog.
Cool jog. You know, I mean,
he's
the guy,
done this before. He's a veteran. Of course.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely... This Savage is as cool as a cucumber.
It's like you've been there before, right?
That's what you should always do. And that's sound advice. That sounds like something a veteran would give to a rookie. Would say to a rookie, right?
Well, that's the way it's handed down from generation to generation.
The guy's cool. I give him that. Now, fellas, you know who else is cool as a cucumber? The refs who work the NFL fields.
Oh, yes.
So let's give our weekly salute to service. And this week's salute to service goes to a few refs that pulled over a Florida State Seminole who portrayed himself as a simple, hard-working season Alfonso. Ticket holder.
It's hard to stay just cool, so you know, when the cool is cucumber cool when the sunshine states.
About that.
Narcotics detection. Okay. My canine partner did alert to narcotics coming, the odor of narcotics coming from this vehicle.
Odor of narcotics.
Come on, what?
Narcotics.
Come on, man.
Yes, sir. Well, what I'm saying is night. He alerted to the odor of it. Is this your vehicle?
Yeah,
it's
me and my wife.
This is
my work vehicle.
See, married?
Work vehicle. I sell drugs out of it. I mean, I do my business out of this.
That uses any type of a narcotic to enter this vehicle at any time?
No, this is my work vehicle.
Anybody that's
married?
Weed
he has a work vehicle. He has a lunch pail.
Okay. Stay alert.
Listen, I understand that, but I'm trying to ask you if there's any other reason why you think my dog would have alerted to the inside of this vehicle.
I don't know. It ain't no drugs in here, man.
Okay. Well, just so you know, it gives us probable cause to search the interior. So we're going to do that. So I'm going to ask that you step out, and I'm going to make sure that you don't have any weapons on you. I'm just going to pat you down.
He certainly is rude to this man.
You got to get a smoke, though. Yeah, the ref?
Yeah, ref, being very rude.
You're good. You can go ahead and step out.
Yeah, just go ahead.
And you can keep your smoke, man. Look at that. You can keep your smoke. You don't have to put the... Yeah.
Keep your hands up.
Keep your hands
up. Stay on the ground.
Keep your hands up where you can see him. Mm. You let him get the smoke.
He's acting peculiar.
Gun. Where is it?
Put the gun down.
It's down on the ground right now.
Listen to me. I will kill you.
I will fucking kill you. Cucumber cool in the Sunshine State.
Yeah.
You
know?
Are you insane?
Yeah. Flat out, I will fucking kill you.
Here's the way it is. One of us is going to die. It won't be me.
So, yeah, firearm. Yeah. Yeah.
Put your hand behind your back. Do it now.
Come on, blind body. I can't do it. Why are you holding my arm?
There goes the smoke. Where's the smoke now?
I think, I don't know what happened to the smoke.
Let him keep the smoke and everything, I guess.
He did let him keep. He said you can keep your cigarette. Just get on out.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jay.
Be your last one for a while.
Yeah.
Take you down to the Justice Center, book you and all that business. Well, what do you think about that, Cleve? I mean,
salute to service, guy.
All right, yeah, he did a very good job. Did the guy get shot or just shocked? Did he get shocked, tasered? I thought I heard a taser going up.
He just manhandled the player, you know.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, nothing.
It's great work.
That was great work. There you go. Thank you. Three of us agree. That's a salute to service. Now, on the flip side of our salute to service is the middle finger salute.
Oh.
Fellas. Do these refs get the middle finger salute or sympathy because of their service? Now, on top, you see that a Baltimore ref who was on duty and in full uniform was found slumped over behind the wheel of his marked patrol vehicle.
Well, we didn't see what he saw. We didn't see what he saw, so.
Let me see it from his angle.
We'd see it from his angle. He might not have been drunk and slumped. He might have been.
Okay, so the breathalyzer was.
I got to take the cop's side on this one.
Okay. Meanwhile, in Alabama, the chief of the refs was removed from the field for masturbating at the beach while walking behind teenage girls and fondling himself in an elevator with kids.
This guy's on his own.
You one for two, huh, PD?
I mean, come on. You get kids involved, you know? I mean, like, they're supposed to trust the police, right? How can they trust the police when the police chief's masturbating and fondling kids in an elevator.
I agree.
Fondling himself, actually, with elevator with kids.
That's definitely some Alabama behavior.
So what do you say, Hotep G? Is it a middle finger salute for both of these guys or one?
Oh, Alabama police definitely middle finger to him. We should just pretty much, like, just probably throw him in the middle of the sea.
The chief?
Yeah.
Throw him.
They
can walk the plank?
Yeah, he's no good.
What about the Baltimore ref?
Baltimore ref deserves a suspension, but like he said, you know, we need to hear his side of the story.
Well,
and that's the other thing.
He was fired.
They're just allegations.
Oh, he fired.
Fired.
Both.
Wow.
Fired.
You can't fire cops in Baltimore. There's only 10 of them.
Well, that's the verdict, yeah. They're both fired. Hmm. Now, I got to give the middle finger salute to not only these two, but to a high school marching band in Mississippi that staged a halftime skit depicting students pointing guns at the refs.
Oh, wow.
Here you go, here.
Oh, boy.
Now, this isn't fake news from CNN, although it's a CNN headline. And the timing of this ill-advised ploy couldn't be worse because two refs were killed just 6 days earlier by a Mississippi simian.
Mm.
Now, so you have this 6 days later after two refs were fatally wounded on the field.
You see, they got the black women up there.
Yeah.
Well, always put the black women on the front.
So, Hotep Jesus.
I mean, it's their idea. Come on. they're the ones that wrote the skit.
Yeah.
Hotep Jesus, I got to ask you this question instead of PD because you're black.
Okay.
Just racist to leave.
What the hell were they thinking?
What were they thinking? They try to think publicity stunt. That's what these people want. They want a publicity stunt, whatever's going to entertain people. But they weren't thinking, obviously.
Okay.
This is a very bad example to set for people.
Got it.
It's funny how teenagers in general don't really seem to take the whole national mood and the scope of their actions into account at the time, do they?
Yeah, but the refs who were killed, this is the same town. So, I mean, so it's not like it's national, they were killed nationally. This is local, this was a local tragedy. And they just said, but our agenda is bigger.
So did they condemn the actions of these, of this, were they like,
don't do
this, you know?
No, this wasn't that at all. You know what this was? This was Black Lives Matter-esque.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. All right.
It was like dental hygienists up there shooting those guys.
They really felt empowered. Like, that's the epitome of black empowerment today.
Yeah.
It's a staged show.
That's why I asked you, because you're black. You got it. Hang on to pause. All right, PD. Hmm. That's not racist.
I don't take it that way.
Now it's time for our...
personally.
Now it's time for our Around the League End Around, where we check out some notable plays and headlines. On deck this week, we have the Cleveland Cretans, Philadelphians, Pittsburgh Steelers, free agent news, and Miami Heaters. All right, so fellas, the first stop is Cleveland, Ohio, where the Cleveland Cretans have done it again. Another milestone. They've hit the 100 TD mark for the seventh consecutive season, PD.
Wow, that's regular production right there.
Year after year, you can count on these Cretans.
A lot of mistakes on the lake.
That's what they call it, mistake on the lake. This time last season, they had only scored 92 touchdowns. And that team went to the AAFC championship game.
Wow.
So dare I say that this Cleveland squad is playoff bound?
I think they're playoff brown. I think that's how you get it right the first time.
That was racist. Yeah.
Playoff brown Cleveland Cretans, and they are, you know something, they're bigger, stronger, faster, and improving on last year. And who knows, man, they might be hitting 200 TDs a year by the time we're looking at a year from now. You know, I mean, they're on the rise.
You're probably mad LeBron left, but they look playoff bound.
Yeah, there you go. I think despite LeBron leaving, they're in good hands.
Yeah.
Great analysis there, my friend. Let's look at another perennial playoff team. My guys, the Philadelphians. Now, these guys should teach my Eagles a thing or two about execution.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
It's in murder execution style.
There you go. During a Thursday night Feral Ball game, a team caught a TD pass on a play that was drawn up specifically for them. And it went down at a gas station.
It's nice when they start plotting each game.
The city has now reached 100 murders for the year for the seventh year in a row.
Wrong.
And it's only October 3rd.
Oh, yeah, that's a Cleveland video.
That's Cleveland. We're past Cleveland. We're going to
Brown Reason to Live.
What do you got, black people working that booth over there?
Is he Jay?
Kind of.
Sort of.
And another hurt. Wow, look at her.
Her name is Dawn Temminy.
Yowza. Police headquarters.
As soon as he get out the car, he start shooting.
It was a scary scene as surveillance cameras captured the moment a gunman stepped from a vehicle on Passyunk Avenue and look opened fire.
Wow. So he pulled up, and from the passenger side, mobile, the shooter straightly come with
a mobile quarterback, PD. It's a staple of the NFL.
Came out on the roll.
The cash register at the station when the shooting started.
Pass.
He described the chaos as the gunfire rang out.
And then they send out a second QB on the roll.
And you see everybody running.
And everybody was screaming. They were hiding here.
When the shooting stopped, police say 15-year-old Rasul Benson from Ellsworth Street was dead from a gunshot wound to the back. Another 15-year-old was wounded. A third ran off. He, too, may have been shot.
We're still waiting on a precise description of the vehicle. Approached them. Somebody got out of the vehicle. We believe it's a male. They got out of the vehicle and began firing.
Yeah, I believe
police
that was a man.
Don't know the motive, but sources say the gunman may have been targeting another teen who ran off. Benson was a freshman at Parkway West High School at 47th and Fairmount. There's growing concern over the number of teens shot and killed in Philadelphia this year.
Yes,
the
indeed.
Number we have is growing is concern at this point. Growing. Young folks
that's going to
that
thin out
receiving
the ranks
of this type of horror.
Oh, yeah.
And then
the
what
coming
we're finding
prospects,
is
sure.
Younger folks or on the aggressive side of
this.
Let's
play one more time.
I like that second roll out. That second gunman rolling out. It's rolling right and just throwing, winging it. Now we had two dead on there, right? Two TDs, one TD, at least two completions.
Yeah.
And man, that's execution. And I, what I like to see there is that they're drawing it up for the specific moment. You know, it's not a one size fits all kind of offense down in Philadelphia, and that's why they've been so successful.
There you go. Now let's stay in Pittsburgh, fellas, shall we? But head west. I mean, we're gonna stay in Pennsylvania rather than head west to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Home of the Steelers. Now the Steelers are actually better than their productivity indicates this season. One problem is, guys, is that they're not spreading the ball around. Most of their TDs are to the same targets. And I just say they got the level up. It's like if Ben Roethlisberger just passed to Antonio Brown all the time because he's black. Whereas the white tight end can catch too. I think his name is Jesse James. Mm-hmm. Jesse James? I think that's his name.
That's a white name for sure, though.
Yeah, I mean.
Big beefy tight end.
You got to spread it around. It's just look at this. 50 of the 66 homicides. Black lives in August alone. I mean, up until August.
Huh.
8 out of 9 in August. So it's like, yeah, spread it around. Diversify the play call.
Well, you know, there's only one squad to blame there, and that's the Pittsburgh's the Steelers. You know, yeah. I mean, you have to learn to spread it around. To don't play favorites.
No.
Are you playing favorites? They keep it.
Okay. Now, let's get to some free agent news from our free agent tracker. Now, several free agents in the battle state of Texas utilized a gas station, another gas station, to put themselves on tape to shop around. You want to be able to showcase your talent.
Mm.
Because especially in Texas where the talent pool is deep.
Mm.
So sometimes free agents take drastic measures to get a look. Wait, Jay, let it rip. Again, another argument.
Been looking for a good gas station to hang out at, so here in town, not a lot of gas stations
here in NYC or
right here in the city. There's only a couple.
Okay. Well, if you're in Austin, Texas,
plenty of places.
Not this golf gas station.
Not this golf.
No, because this is where the game really begins to intensify. Right there. Now,
yeah, gunshots are scatter, and the defense scatters, and it's.
Yeah, just
no, it's hard to follow the action here.
But the camera never stops rolling. That's what I like about this play.
One continuous shot, yeah.
Yeah, just it keeps rolling, and it stays focused on the play as much as possible.
Yeah.
It's definitely a veteran camera. Not his first shootout.
Listen, right. you hear it in the
not
background.
Rattled by the shots.
Not rattled. Oh. And you still steady hand while the shots are being fired. Mm. And then this cameraman, as you said, Hotep Jesus, is a veteran.
He's approaching.
He's a professional of his craft. He zooms in
for a close-up.
Is this some kind of promotional scrimmage film, as you said, or just a demo, or is this a...
A lot of things can be taken from
play this. Caught in action, oh, and the refs arrive.
The fastest arrival of referees I've ever seen.
Then they hit that field quickly.
Look at that.
Now, apparently, I don't know, but that vehicle looks like a Kia.
It's definitely a Kia.
But what do you expect from a free agent, guys? I mean,
exactly.
You know?
Hey, you got to cut corners, you know, and that's why they're out there playing, you know?
He made Kia, especially for Nick Noggs.
Yeah.
If you ever saw the commercial with all
those,
came out.
Those gerbils and hamsters.
Those are hood rats.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, bro.
But those are hood rats.
Hood rats. You don't say.
And then Kia is a black girl's name.
It sure is. Another fearless camera
though,
guy.
You know? Toyota.
Stephanie Jeff.
Come on, Toyota. Datsun. I don't know.
Yeah, so this play was blown dead.
Rango. The play is blown dead.
Yeah.
And this is the orange shorts guy.
Yeah, no
he's,
shirt.
On the ground.
You know, sometimes the shirt versus skins game.
Yeah, playing on
the
skins, yeah.
Yeah, you know. Sometimes those are the most intense games.
Another hot night in Austin there, you can tell. They got their short pants on out there.
Austin Highway Patrol there, the helmet.
See, now the refs just don't take any chances now when whether guy's on the ground.
No.
I mean, they got plenty of eyes on him. They got plenty of guns trained on him.
Now bark.
Yes. Lift up one leg.
One leg.
Yeah.
Like you're pissing on a hydrant.
You put your right foot in.
Hokey pokey.
Look at that. Back up.
All
back
around.
Up. Okay.
We'll make a
zip, fling. Keep backing up. Jesus. They're going to make him back up all the way to the squad car?
It's a rookie referee right there closest to us.
Oh, who's with the looking around? Well, actually, the cameraman is going to pan to another player that's being removed from the field in a second.
Well, you know what? For rookies or free agents or whatever these guys are, they're playing it safe, and they're showing a lot of professionalism here with the way they're dealing with the refs. And
I think
that's best, you know, because you go into training camp, you come out, you'll be a little stronger, play another season, you know. Don't go wild and start pulling the trigger at the wrong time.
How about that? Boys, he has hustle written on his shorts.
How about that, hustle?
Well, he showed some hustle the way he was crawling on towards the refs. Now, there's another... there's another player on the field. They didn't make this one crawl or bark or anything. He just balled up. He's not lying. Getting the story together.
Yeah.
All right, Jay. Thanks, man. Mm. Now, lastly, guys, we're going to head down south to MIA, home of the Miami Heaters. However, when I talk about the Heaters this time, I'm talking about two miniature Heaters. Two 13-year-olds who ran a carjack play on a teacher in an elementary school parking lot and then crashed the getaway car.
Look at that, just young young nogs that can barely see over the wheel.
Which would explain why they crashed during the getaway. Yeah.
Not experienced behind the wheel drivers, but you know what? They're spirited play.
Spirited play.
It's like when dogs chase a car and they catch it. They don't know what the hell to do with it.
Maybe they should have carjacked and kidnapped the driver's ed teacher instead of this random teacher. All right, fellas. As we normally do after the Around the League segment, the Hall of Famer John Mad Dog Madden joins the Cypher. Is Mad Dog available? There he is. That sounds like him. There he is.
How are y'all doing? This gracious morning. We've been blessed to have the sunshine and delight. And not a storm yet, but I mean, this is coming in pretty big here, this storm. What do you think?
Yeah.
Jesus in his heart this morning, huh?
Yeah, he's
filled with hope.
Pretty big. Now, Mad Dog, we are against the clock.
Sunshine.
Can we get right to it?
Yep.
All righty. Let us know if the following play is all Madden or not. Now, his comment. No,
okay.
It's a video, Jay. That we're going to get to that one. We got something else lined up to you, for you, Mad Dog, so just stay patient.
Sounds good.
Now, we're going to get to this first one, which is, here we go. Now, it's common knowledge that Jordans are the favorite cleats of NFL players, along with Air Force Ones and Timberlands. So, seeing this player from the Virginia Musketeers break into a sneaker store to steal Jordans was understandable. But His reasoning for doing so was unusual.
It's not unusual to steal Jordan.
They say stole mostly right shoes from several pairs of sneakers.
Not only the right
it
shoes.
It happened at a footwear boutique called Clean Soles in Virginia. Surveillance footage shows the suspect in the store taking shoes off of the showroom's front
clean
counter.
Clean soles.
But look closely. The person only takes the right shoes. First from the display near the checkout counter, then directly from the display wall. Hmm. The store's operator says the matches of each sneaker are kept in the back. 13 right shoes were taken between this and another break-in that happened not long ago in July. A 17-year-old was charged with grand larceny and burglary in the previous incident, but police
saggy
are still
pants,
looking
huh?
for the culprit in this most recent one. Here's to hoping, with this evidence, the investigation starts off on the right foot.
I have a theory about why he took only right shoes. Anybody got theories on that besides me?
Well, you're the Hall of Famer, Mad Dog. I'm out.
I have a theory. Yeah, I mean, probably what they intend to do is box those up and then, sell them quickly. And do it at a time, you know, when they're looking over your shoulder, go, come on, just give me the money. You know, and they pass it off as two regular shoes.
I think it's something a little more rehearsed and devious. This guy, I feel, he has tons of sneakers, full pairs, full size runs on these, and he's just grabbing display case ones so that way the homies can try one on real quick.
Right size.
You're both wrong. He's dating Heather Mills.
Oh, no, she's missing her right leg.
Oh, she's missing her.
I don't know.
Sorry.
I don't really know. But, hey, well, you know what? Maybe it's this. You know, what are they going to do now to fill that display out? They're going to put the left shoes up.
Ah,
yeah. You better be watching in coming days. He's going to come back.
Get the left.
Yeah, I mean, they've hit him twice already. Clean soles, by the way. That's really the bare minimum you expect when you go to a shoe store. And I want the soles to be clean.
Pretty observation there, Petey.
Well,
Mad Dog, is that an all Mad play or no?
You know, if my theory is correct, that is an all Madden play.
Okay.
I think what they're doing is they're taking the authentic version of the shoe, and they're going to take the right foot and put it with a bootleg left. So when somebody asks them, is this an authentic, they're going to show them the right foot, and the person will think it's authentic, then they'll sell the whole pair.
Wait a minute. When was the last time you been to Virginia?
I don't know.
Was that him on that video? We won't turn you in. You family. That was a great explanation.
Just put myself in the shoes of a criminal.
I think both theories, these are both the best theories you're going to get anywhere on the internet or mainstream media. This is... Nobody else is thinking. They're just saying, "Oh, why is he taking the right foot?" We got two great theories here, and I think that's what the NFL segment brings.
Four theories advanced. He claims there's two great theories, so I assume one of them's his own.
Well,
yeah, one of them, the Heather Mills one, is a pretty great too. So we got three great theories.
Okay,
here.
All right,
okay, fellas,
I hear you, Mad Dog.
It's time for an award that's rarely given, and that's because it has to be earned. And I'm talking about the Balls of Steel Award.
God, look at those vast deference.
Now PD, I think this is probably the second time this season, that we've given this award.
Well, it hasn't been a very ballsy season, has it, Talib?
Now, here's the thing. Today's recipients aren't even Nicknocks. They're Nipknocks, I believe. You guys check it out and let me know. But this is the way they groom themselves is hair-raising, literally. Can we get some sound on this? I mean, guys, using a chainsaw to cut hair. Maybe he's trying to go for the Brian Bosworth look. Remember Brian Bosworth of the...
From Chicago.
Or Seattle Seahawks.
Bosworth.
Bos, they called him.
Well, that's a good way to get scalped right there. These nipnogs they got a lot of... They're very courageous.
There. Now I know why Troy Polamalu didn't cut his hair.
Sometimes they'll do it.
Are these his people? I don't know. They might be his people. But if this is...
He's like Hawaiian or some shit. I've seen him do it with nunchucks before. Not a chainsaw.
Nice.
Maybe a throwing star, you know? That's really...
No, if this were my only option, my hair would look like Hotep Jesus. That will grow.
How much do you think he charges for this?
I don't know, a couple coconuts.
Pretty loud.
I don't know. Yeesh. All right, Mad Dog. Just, what do you got to say?
You know, just like the Nignogs, the Nipnogs have a very tough, coarse set of hair. It's a very, I don't want to use the word that I must use, but it rhymes with
Happy?
Jappy.
Jappy? Is it Chappy?
I said it rhymes with Jappy.
What is Jappy?
Oh, okay. Yeah, he had that whole thing playing.
Yeah, he is. So, okay, Mad Dog, we know where you're going with this. Now, while I have you, here's the final installment of All Madden or Nah. All right, Jay, you ready, Jay? A cheerleader showed off her moves in the South Carolina McDonald's after she ordered a crispy chicken wrap, but received a grilled chicken wrap instead.
That is infuriating.
Everyone is frozen around her, though. The customers.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, the cameraman?
You want to get in the middle of that?
Or that?
Oof.
Oh. You. Oh, one brave employee comes out.
You about to get whooped.
Wow, they can do so much damage and still not really incur a lot of wrath, you know?
Yeah, and that's what...
Emails, yeah. They get so much slack.
That's the next Captain Marvel, this chick. Uh-oh, pull up the pants.
Yeah, you hit me fucking one shot, boy. Hey, Camilla, stop playing.
This is entertaining. I wish I would have been there.
Oh, this is McDonald's. And, you know, McDonald's, you can't have it your way. That would be Burger King, where you can have it your way. Mm. She had her way in McDonald's.
I think if she had it her way, that place would be burned down.
Now, Mad Dog, is this an All Madden play or not?
You know, I think so, because this reinforces the reason why our cheerleaders and NFL players, they don't have the common conception of liking grilled chicken.
Okay.
They're fighting for a well-earned stereotype that, you know, I mean, they're not going around eating pears and grilled chicken. I mean, we know what kind of fruits and vegetables and chicken, the way, you see.
Okay.
Because the chicken with the fried bazoo.
Okay.
Bazoo.
Well,
bless you.
Yeah, bless you.
That's all I got.
Otep Jesus, I know how you love black women, but I doubt that you would draft that chick. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I only date black women that act white.
Oh, whoa. Guess what? You're in luck today. Well, sort of luck. Well, we don't have the black women who act white. We have some cheerleaders who are white.
We got a good
and that's
match
from
today.
This week's draft class, fellas. Now, we have 5 minutes, guys. So, PD?
Well, look, you know, for my wife, I'm always looking for somebody who doesn't look like they're going to be a whole lot of trouble. So I'm going to take that vacant-looking, vacant-eyed bottom left there. She's already in a pucker, too, you know. So, you know, on the rare occasion that you want to have sex with your wife, she might be on board. So bottom left for wife. Let's see. I need a mistress here. That's somebody you're going to see fairly often. I'll go with that tan girl right to her right. Why not? She's got that Marsha Brady look. And bangs on the bottom left. That's too... That looks like an odd. That looks like a fucking troll doll.
What?
See, Mistress Ho. I need a Ho, right? Give me that. Yeah, that 17-year-old up there on the top right.
Okay.
So yeah, bottom left, bottom middle, top
let's
right.
Let's go with Hotep, Jesus.
Yeah, I read eyes really well. So bottom left is actually you're in trouble, bro. You look at her eyes. She sucked a lot of dick before.
Bottom left. That's one.
You know, my actual wife sucked a lot of dick before.
Top right, I'll take as my wife. She looks like she'll listen to me. The bottom right's definitely the hoe. And the one in the middle at the bottom.
Bottom middle?
Definitely mistress material.
So we got wife. Wife is what? Top?
Top right.
Top right.
Yeah.
Mistress is bottom right?
Bottom middle.
Bottom middle. Now the hoe.
Hoe is bottom right.
Bottom right. There you go.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang. Mad Dog, you're up.
I'm going to go with the classic 1950s wife with the top left. We're going ho, bottom right, because, I mean, you know. And then I'm going to go side piece. Yeah, give me that top right, that little sea monkey down there.
All right. Jay, you're up. See a lot of...
Oh, man, I'm digging this one. I'm going, yeah, I got to go top right for the wife. I mean, that's some, right? You know, wow. Nice and young and ready to go.
She has that Nordic.
Going
Tiger Woods ex-wife.
Bottom look. Middle for the mistress and wow. Top middle for the...
Whoa, home. Top middle got some...
I
got
to get her in there. Get her in
pretty
there.
Square jaw there.
Middle got some...
Definitely hoe potential.
Top middle is my wife. She looks like, you know, smoke a bowl, sit on the counter there, play with the titties a little. You know, Garrett's a titty.
He's like a roadie for Aerosmith.
Then my mistress is top right because, yeah, she's so young and virile. And then bottom left because Hotep says she sucks a lot of dicks. Why would I want that to be my hoe? She's got a lot of practice.
Oh, well, there you have it. Jay, show the penalties, my friend. Yeah. Guess what,
charges
fellas?
Unknown.
Well, yeah.
Charges unknown.
Charges unknown.
The charges are unknown on all these.
He said possession of illegal substances, and he's going to do a bowl with her. So
yeah, he said Garrett is the winner. He called it. Now, yeah.
Adam left just looks too comfortable in that mugshot, like she's been there before.
Winner today.
I like those lips, so.
Not like the charges would have made a difference to any of you horny bastards anyway. But wait, fellas, before we go, there's more. Uh-oh. How about we watch some raw video of two vanilla cheerleaders sharing an intimate moment?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know y'all game to watch this. Even you, Hotel
Jesus.
Look
at those little honeys.
Yeah.
Just sharing a little
girl on girl.
Oh, she's up.
Girl on girl. Girl on girl.
Oh,
girl on girl vomit. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Hey, Hotep Jesus called it for what it was. This is a man with a vision.
You can see her face.
Oh, my God. That's disgusting.
That doesn't look real at all. That's fucked up.
Ooh. Is that intended to happen? Is that the money like shot it. They were going for?
Oh,
you can tell, yeah, that was set up because the one that was getting puked on, she said, "Fucking, what am I doing here?" Before the puke even started.
Okay.
Yeah, she knew it was coming.
She was an underreaction for being puked on your neck.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It's one thing if you get a puke on your shoes, but covering your neck.
Yeah, and she did later. But imagine what else she'll lay there for. If she'll lay there for that amount of vomit, imagine what else she will lay there for.
You better swallow the whole load.
Okay. All right, guys, one more. One more, Garrett. Let's go to the Toilet Bowl Award. The final award of the day, the Toilet Bowl Award.
If that last video didn't earn the Toilet Bowl Award, I don't know what
this
we're here.
Earned the Toilet Bowl Award right here. And this eggnog's performance is shitty. The shittiest. Yeah. Now, when refs responded to a report of a stabbing at his residence, they saw meth in plain view on a nightstand. He then told the refs that the performance-enhancing drugs was placed there by a ghost. Yep. Now, fellas, Wizzy, could it be? Maybe this might be an all-Madden play, Mad Dog. What do you think?
Well, I think this is not only an all-Madden play. Great excuse. You confuse them. You share a laugh with these guys. I mean, nobody doesn't think that's funny. And, you know... This is probably the best evidence towards anything paranormal I've ever seen, so I'm going all mad.
Okay. Yeah. A bonus all madness.
Say it's a two-flusher toilet bowl award myself.
Yeah, I agree. All right, guys. This concludes the NFL Network in conjunction with ESPNN's review of Week 42. Thank you, Nikki G, Ryan Katsu, Rivera Kostal, Phil Foolery, the Kendall Brothers, and our other field correspondents. Also, the Clinton Foundation for its continued effort to globalize the NFL.
Clinton.
Okay, fellas, it's time to hit the old dusty trail. PD, bid your farewells and hugs, of course.
Okay, well, tonight you can see me at Broadway Comedy Club with John McClellan at his show. It's 8:30 Broadway Comedy Club. And, of course, October 24th, West Side Comedy Club, New York City Crime Report Live. And everybody subscribe to the New York City Crime Report free on iTunes.
You go.
tonight
Top Jesus.
At 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hotep's Been Told You, episode 16, when Uncle Hotep will be live at 8 p.m. on YouTube.
YouTube?
Yeah, just type in Hotep Jesus or Hotep's Been Told You, and you can watch us live.
Good. I'm there. Oh, the game is on. God damn it. Tomorrow? Yeah, I'm trying to find a bar. I got to find a bar in the city to watch my boys take out some frustration on the Giants. So if anybody knows a spot for Eagles, holler at your boy. And before we bounce, let's throw out this week's garbage, fellas, as we traditionally do. And start with me. How about me? Let me throw out these two guys. Frickin' Frack, Mike and Ike, for their coward approach when it came to going to the White House to discuss prison reform. They did not. So, if you won't go there, you go here. For the garbage.
As we found out on Ant's show the other day, this guy's dad died in the same way that a certain business card did, crumpled up in an elevator. That was one of the best jokes I've ever seen. And came right off. Aside from having the same initials, I don't care. This guy is going in the trash.
Yeah.
ED. We got the Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, the Charlie's Angels reboot.
Ruining the matriarchy.
The woke version of Charlie's Angels.
Ruining what it is to be a beautiful woman. We gotta get them out of here. Bring pretty bitches back, man.
Make bitches pretty again.
Pussy stank too.
Thanks for tuning in. God bless and have a woke weekend. Dizzy, take us out of here.
Space was recorded to a hard drive in front of a live audience.
Ha! Gay!